What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to MLB The Showcast. As always, I'm your host, Adam, or What the Moose, joined by my brother, Aaron. How's it going, Aaron?
Doing well. How about you?
I'm doing just fine. We had a stream today, or actually, it was yesterday by the time you guys will be listening to this, in MLB The Show, or I should say on Twitch, that will break down a lot of stuff to get into with that. Also, we made an appearance on This Week in MLB The Show, another fantastic MLB The Show podcast, probably the premier out there, I would say. So definitely check that out if you guys have not. Cooperstown Kurt was very good to us. It was a fun interview, and definitely check that out if you guys have not. But let's roll right into this live stream today. Tons of stuff to get into. First up was kind of about the patch. We'll get into the patch a little bit later, but they mentioned with the patch, I just want to get this out there real fast, that if you have any issues, if you have any feedback you want to give, give that on the Show Nation forum. There are dedicated threads for that stuff, and you can report all that stuff there. So without out of the way, the biggest news from this live stream was there's a new legend in the game coming today. On the day you guys are listening to this, Stan Musial. How are we feeling about that, Aaron?
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's Stan the Man Musial is coming to the game. Now, if you're anybody that's followed baseball, any portion of your life, you should know who Stan Musial is. Yes, the guy played in the 50s and 60s, but you should know Stan the Man. This is a dominant hitting outfielder who hit 331 for his career. He hit 331!
It's unbelievable.
I tweeted this out earlier today. One of the craziest stats that I think I know of any sort of baseball player in their history is that Stan Musial had 1,815 hits at home and 1,815 hits on the road. That's incredible.
It's hilarious, too. I mean, that many hits in at all is unbelievable, and then you split it up like that. It's just that's a fantasy tale right there. But yeah, all right, so let's break down the Stan Musial program. First up at 10%, you're going to get a 74 overall Stan Musial player that you can use, and there will be a mission for that. We have no idea what that mission is, but there will be some kind of mission attached to him. Then at 50%, you get an 80 overall. I think it was an 80 overall. I know it's a gold Stan Musial that you also have a different mission for that you have to do. You get both those cards via basically exchanging bobbleheads of his or autographs. And it's very interesting. There's no hat exchange. There's no jersey exchange. And presumably no outfielder exchange, which they didn't show and they didn't say for certain that there wasn't going to be. But I didn't see one. And it seemed like the entire program was very heavily driven by these bobbleheads and the autographs. So how do you feel about that and how they essentially took out the hats, the jerseys, and stuff like that in favor of bobbleheads?
I love it. I mean, one of the things that I didn't like about their current structure of the Immortals that they dropped in at launch was how many stubs you had to invest in the guys. Yes, they made it easier for the player programs in the sense that you could exchange any team collectible, but for the Immortals, it stayed the same. You needed about 150-something bronze hats and like 35 gold jerseys for teams associated with that player, which is just ridiculous. It is a ton of stubs, and for teams like the Dodgers, you're looking at spending upwards of $50,000 to $75,000 just to finish one of those exchanges. So I think the advantage that this Stan Musial Immortal will have is that you don't have to throw that $75,000 stubs in, you don't have to throw that $50,000 stubs in. You just got to play the game. And that's what we were told at the beginning of the year, is that these Immortals are going to be unlocked just by playing the game.
Right, which I think is great. Also, we probably should break down how to actually get these bobbleheads, these autographs. Basically, you have to play the game, like Aaron just said. You have to play. There's going to be an event in the game. By the time you guys are listening to this, there'll be an event in the game, which is, we'll get into it in a little bit, but basically for 10 wins, for 20 wins, and for 30 wins cumulative, you'll get a Stan Musial bobblehead each time you hit one of those milestones. And also, you can get them through ranked season's rewards eventually. Not this season, obviously. You guys can already see the ranked season rewards for this current May season. But for June and going forward, apparently you'll be able to get them. Who knows exactly how many? Maybe World Series gets like 10 bobbleheads, or maybe they get two. No one really knows. But either way, it's pretty cool. Basically, just play the game, play the event, play ranked seasons, and you get, you know, essentially all you need for Stan Musial. So I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, they mentioned you're going to need 12 total bobbleheads or autographed baseballs to get this done. And Adam mentioned that they're tied to both the event and ranked seasons. Now, they didn't mention it on stream on how they're going to distribute these with ranked seasons rewards, but I really hope it's not tied to the end of the month or beginning of the month ranked seasons reward. Like, I would hate to have this event in the game for these next couple days or so, and then go another month without being able to get Stan Musial bobbleheads. Because if you miss this event, you don't get the max out on the three you need. Like, you're going to have to wait a month before you get any more. Like, that's crazy to me. I'd much rather have them give you, like, one bobblehead for every, I don't know, 15 ranked seasons wins you get. That way you give people a constant thing to work towards and not an end date that they're looking for to, all right, I need to hit like championship series by the end of June, because then I'm going to get whatever, four bobbleheads. Like, I'd much rather see them do like a cumulative type of reward that gives you the bobblehead once you earn it.
Yeah, I agree 100% on that. I really hope that's how they do it, but I'll be honest, I'd be very surprised if that's how it's done. I think it's going to be done based on what tier you rank up in ranked season. So if you're, like I said, if you're World Series, maybe you get 8 bobbleheads. And if you're Championship Series, maybe you get 5, and so on down the list.
So let's actually speculate this. So how many bobbleheads do you think you would get for making, let's say, World Series?
So World Series obviously is the highest rank you can possibly achieve in a ranked seasons. You need 12 total bobbleheads for Musial. I'm going to say you get no more than 5. I think that's the highest they'd give you. Maybe 6 I could see, but nothing higher than that. And going down the list, I'd probably say you basically subtract 2 for each one. Assuming they do, let's say they give 6 for a World Series, I would see like 4 for Championship Series, 2 for, what is it, Wild Card or whatever below that. And then maybe for the next one below that, give you 1. Like, I don't think you should get any bobbleheads for getting like 300, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I think there should be some kind of barrier to get a bobblehead, but I would like guys in, you know, the 500-600 range to be able to at least get 1 or 2. If possible. So we'll see how that shakes out. Who knows? Maybe they'll give, you know, 10 for World Series.
Yeah, I mean, I doubt they're going to go with 10, considering that the best World Series award up to this date has been a 90 Darren Erstad and a 90 Robinson Cano.
Right.
So I think we're looking more towards the 3 to 4 range. You get 3 for maxing on an event. Ranked seasons are a little longer. They're more intense. They're 9-inning games. They're harder to get to that level. I'd probably say we're looking at 4 bobbleheads per month. And that way people who play just ranked seasons but make World Series every single month can get it in 3 months. I think that's a reasonable time period, considering the time period that they have for their other immortals that they have in the game right now.
Right. I think we should also make it pretty clear. I don't think we have. These bobbleheads are not sellable. They are literally only used for the Stan Musial program. Maybe you can quick sell them. I'm not even sure if you could do that, though. But you cannot list them on the market. So let's say, hypothetically, you do get, like, you know, 15 for World Series, which I'd be shocked by. But let's say you do. Like, 3 of those are going to be completely useless because you only need 12 for Musial. So it's not like, oh, you know, you're earning them and you can sell them. No, as of right now, and I would be shocked if they ever did, they're not going to be sellable. So that's definitely something to keep in mind.
And likewise, it doesn't look like, at least they didn't show it, but it doesn't look like you can use your 5 Team Epics collectibles towards 5% on Stan Musial. At least I didn't see that option.
I think it's going to be available. I don't see why it wouldn't be. It's available on all the other ones. The problem with how they showed it, at least what we saw, was they only showed like 4 different missions, and most of them were the exchanges. A couple of them were hidden player missions. Like I mentioned, at 10% you get a different player, and at 50% you get another player. So you couldn't really see everything. I would guess the Team Epic thing is also going to be there, though. So that'll give you a free bonus 5% if you have 5 Team Epics done, which is a lot of grinding. So props to you if you have it done. Real quick, let's break down Musial stats just really fast. So he has 125 contact on both sides, right and left.
It's beast.
I mean, absolutely incredible. But obviously we know this game is governed by power. And I was a little worried about his power. I checked his hitting stats throughout his career. And he does have 475 career home runs, which is fantastic. But he also played in like 26 seasons.
Yeah, I mean, he made 24 All-Star teams.
Which is absurd.
When they said that on stream, I almost dropped my jaw dropped out of my mouth. Yeah, 24 All-Star games.
It's unbelievable. So he does have a lot of career home runs, but over a long span of time. So it's not like he ever hit, you know, 50 home runs. I think the most he ever hit was, I want to say 29 or 32. It was something like low 30s, high 20s, somewhere around that. He averaged, I believe, 25 every season or so, which is, you know, a very solid number, especially for that time. But I was worried he might have like, you know, 65, 75 power, which is good, but it's not really immortal.
Right, and is that kind of power really going to play in this game where like guys like Ryan Schimpf and Joey Gallo are still mainstays on ranked seasons rosters?
Right, and that those fears were kind of curtailed a little bit. 90 power right and also 106 power left, so even against righties, only 90 power, and I'm saying only, like, that's still a great stat. That's, you know, only 10 off Joey Gallo. Like, that's incredible right there. 90 power right is fantastic, along with 125 vision as well. I'm pretty sure the dev said he was the only 125 vision player in the entire game. So, I mean, this dude is going to be an absolute monster. And he can also play first. So he can play any of the outfield positions and first base. That's amazing to me. Yeah.
I really like the 106 power left, because for a lot of people, including myself, it's much tougher to hit lefty-lefty and righty-righty versus whatever, righty-lefty and lefty-righty. It's a lot harder to hit against a guy that's facing the same way as you. So to have the built-in sort of forgiveness in the extra power is going to go a long way.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a monster, definitely one that we're going to be going for. And to get there, like we said, you need a lot of bobbleheads and autographs. And one way to do it, the best way to do it, at least right now, is through the Immortal event that is starting today, is the day you guys are listening to this. That event is NL Central only players, but you can also use commons of any division just so you can round out your roster. Although the minimum player overall is only 60, so it's not like you can load up on a bunch of 48 overall guys to lower your team overall. These teams are going to be kind of bad, I think. The maximum team overall is only 73. So you're going to be seeing a lot of bronzes, maybe even a couple commons creep into some lineups. I know you can really stack out your, you know, obviously your starting rotation will be all commons. You can even stack a few in the bullpen, maybe a couple on the bench. But, I mean, I don't see how you're going to be able to put in, you know, diamond players into this lineup. Like, you can probably get one or two, but you're definitely not going to see a crazy, crazy lineup.
I mean, you can finesse it, but you're going to be sacrificing in a lot of places.
Right. I mean, if you're willing to have an all-common bullpen, maybe you can have an all-diamond lineup or mostly diamond lineup, but that's a huge risk, especially given that these are six-inning games. You definitely need to have some decent pitching on your team. Pretty long games. Definitely not our preferred. I mean, we definitely both prefer three-inning games. Also, something that's definitely worth mentioning, this ends on May 23rd, which is pretty soon. Basically, the event is only out for 5 days. That is incredible. May 23rd is obviously Wednesday. So it's in from, you know, basically Friday to Wednesday. How do you feel about that? A five-day-long event.
So I don't mind five-day-long events in principle, but you have to stack that up to the reward structure of the event. Like, if the max reward in a five-day event in a six-inning game, with six-inning games, is, let's say, like 20 wins. I'm fine with that. You can get 20 wins in 5 days, no problem. The general user can get 20 wins in 5 days, no problem.
You think so? I don't think that's necessarily the case.
If you include a weekend, I think so.
I mean,
so
maybe.
So you get 10 to 12 on the weekend and then space the other ones out.
I mean, one thing that I saw when I was tweeting about this on Twitter earlier was XI Cardinal, who's a streamer on Twitch. We were going back and forth a little bit about it, and he kind of agreed with me, and he broke it down really quick. He said, if each game takes about 30 minutes, which I think that's more or less reasonable, you might have some that go 45, you might have some that go 15. So 30 minutes for each game to win 30 games, he said, but we can break it down to 20. He said 30 games would be roughly 3 hours a day for that, and that's if you didn't lose a single game and you didn't have any time in the menus, which obviously is not going to happen. I mean, the average player is probably going to lose, you know, 10 to 15 games on their way to, you know, 30 wins. Like, it's going to take a while to get up to that 30-win mark. And, like, even like you said, 20 wins I think would take a while as well. But I did kind of cut you off. You can go ahead.
Right. So, but in the context of this event, I think the top reward, which is 30, or the top reward is the third Stan Musial bobblehead, which you unlock at 30 wins. It's way too many wins. Like, I don't... There will be people that get to 30 wins, but they're going to be playing all day Friday, all day Saturday, and all day Sunday. Like, it's going to take a long, long time to get to 30 wins for the normal user.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think it's too short of an event. Only 5 days is way too short. I really hope they extend it. It's always possible. I know they've done that in the past, so you never know. Maybe they will, especially if they see a lot of engagement. They see a lot of people at, you know, 18 wins, at 22 wins. They might extend it.
Right, so I just want to go back to, I keep saying the normal user, and I might get a little bit of blowback by people saying, like, all right, well, yeah, everything isn't for everybody. But these are events. They're free to enter. They're not BR. They don't have a fee. Like, these should be for the average user. The events should be in the game long enough for the average user to get the best reward.
See, I don't necessarily agree with
especially
that.
Especially because the top reward is given right away once you earn it. So the best players who get the reward quickest are going to be able to max out. It's different from ranked seasons in the sense that ranked seasons doesn't pay out the rewards until late, so the top players aren't necessarily rewarded for getting the mark as soon as possible. But I think, like, this is an event. Like, the reward is given out right away. Why not extend it? All right, let's hear what you say.
Yes, all right. So we're kind of beating around the bush a little bit. If you guys were just listening and you didn't watch the live stream, you might think the only reason to play this is to get Stan Musial bobbleheads. That is not the case at all. You actually get a 91 overall Andrew McCutchen at 25 overall wins or 25 cumulative wins, who's a very good player, has great speed, really good contact. I think he actually has 125 contact left, which is incredible. So you actually get that card too. It's not like you're just playing for the bobbleheads. And so what you said before when you said, you know, you think an event should be in long enough for an average player to get the top reward, I really don't agree with that at all. I think a normal event, like, let's take the Hall of Fame event with the Wade Boggs. That event, I don't know how long it was. Let's say it was 10 days. I can't remember the exact amount of time it was in the game. It seemed like a while. And so let's say it was 10 days, so basically double the amount of time. That event, like, yeah, if you played enough, even as an average player, you probably got Boggs. I don't really think you necessarily deserve to get Boggs if you're just an average player. Like, an event is there to have fun, I think. And if you are good enough or put in enough time, you can get the player. But I think the issue I have with this event and why I think it should be longer, this event coming obviously today when you guys are listening, is that it has requirements or has a reward that is a prerequisite for another program.
Right. In the Stan Musial. And it's something program that you cannot get anywhere else.
Exactly. It's not like you're... I guess what I'm getting at is with the Wade Boggs event, yes, like, you got a Wade Boggs, which is a great reward. You could sell it for between, you know, 20 and 40K, depending on when you got it. And that was awesome for people that got it. But there, if you didn't get it or if you chose not to play the event, you weren't hurting yourself down the road. If you choose not to play or if you don't have enough time to play to get 30 wins in this, you're hurting yourself down the road for Stan Musial. And I think that really sucks. Like, to basically limit people because the event is so short is really unfortunate. With the Wade Boggs event, let's say it had only been 5 days long, I would not have been up in arms about it, because if you wanted Wade Boggs that bad, just, you know, put in the time or whatever. I guess that's kind of a weird way to put it, because you could say the same thing about this event. But I guess that's kind of the point I'm making, is there's no harm in them limiting your access to Wade Boggs. There is harm in them limiting your access to Musial bobbleheads, because at least with somebody like Boggs, you could just buy him if you didn't have enough time to get him. With Musial bobbleheads, this is the only way to get them right now. You can't buy them. You can't pay SDS $100 and get Musial bobbleheads. It's just not an option.
Right. So I guess a lot of this has to... It depends on how quickly they're going to release either events or rank seasons in which you can actually earn the bobbleheads. If they're going to be pumping out ways to earn the bobbleheads week after week after week, it's not that big of an issue. But I think we're both coming at it from the... worst case scenario issue or standpoint, and seeing that, all right, this event is in the game for 5 days, and then we might not see anything that can get you a Stan Musial bobblehead for 3 weeks.
Right, because at least as of right now, with what we know is in the Stan Musial program, you'll need to get 2 bobbleheads to even unlock his 10% card, which then unlocks future, you know, missions and things like that. If there's no other option to get to 10% except for 2 bobbleheads, and this is the only way to get them, that's really not a good sign. Unless they actually have an event going like every week with bobblehead
rewards.
Which
they said they would have immortal events often. I hope they do something like an immortal event and then a non-immortal event and then immortal event, but have like very, very little downtime.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be... If the events are going to be like, let's say, 5 days long like this one, and this one ends on a Wednesday, like, there should be a new event, whether or not that's actually an immortal event that has bobbleheads, there should be a new event on Friday, like 2 days after. And then when that one ends, let's say on Tuesday or Wednesday, then there should be a new one on Friday. And there should always be a new event every Friday. If this is truly how they want to roll out these bobbleheads, they need to give players access to them, and they can't just limit them by not releasing events, essentially. So we'll see how that goes. We really don't know what will happen after this event, but we do know there is one way to get 3 bobbleheads right now, or very soon, and that is to get 30 wins in this event, which obviously, like I said, it gives you a McCutcheon at 25 wins. That is actually a pretty good card. Honestly, very similar to Mookie Betts. I don't know if you wanted to talk about the McCutcheon at all. Do you have any thoughts about him?
It's a nice card. I like the 125 contact against lefties. I'm not sure if he has enough power, but he's a center fielder, though, right?
Yeah, he's a center fielder. Good speed. I think it was like 73.
So you probably don't need as much power in center field, although I know a lot of people play that Cody Bellinger in center field because right. For some godforsaken reason, has center field as
a secondary. He actually
played
center field a couple days ago.
I don't care.
Real life.
So I don't know if he has enough power to play right now, but he's a nice card. He's got really good fielding, good speed, and I really like that contact left.
Yeah, like I said, I compare him a lot to Mookie Betts. He has, I think, a little bit worse contact right, but way better contact left. The power numbers are very similar. Speed is almost identical. Same with defense. So if you wanted a guy like Mookie, but you don't want to spend $110K on Mookie,
he's going to be a hell of a lot cheaper.
Yeah, he'll probably be about $30K to $40K, just like Boggs. So pick up McCutcheon if you wanted Mookie, yeah. But
and
you don't
want to
spend
it. I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you know, like, the events guys and the ranked season rewards are great ways to pick up great cards for a fraction of their value if they would have been live series cards.
Yeah, I want to say that Lenny Dykstra from, I think it was the first event, was selling for like $12K at one point. Like, that's a 90 overall, like, pretty good card.
Right.
But yeah, that's a great option. Good point. So next thing, and pretty much the last thing that they talked about in this stream, was the new position programs that are also coming today, which is pretty cool. I was very glad to see this because this is something we've been harping on forever, just how kind of slow the content release has been. And until last week, when they released 6 different programs to actually finish out the careers that were in the game, we hadn't had anything until that. So I'm glad to see that back-to-back weeks, we're getting positional programs, which is pretty awesome. We can break down which ones, but do you have any thoughts about just the fact that they're releasing positional programs at all?
I think that's honestly the most encouraging thing. In the sense that they're releasing 4 of them. It's not like they're releasing 1 right now.
Right.
I know they did the big drop last week of 6, but we had gone a month and a half, so we were kind of due for a lot to come out. But I think it's encouraging the sense that they're doing 4 this week. I would imagine they're probably going to do 4 next week.
That was going to be my next question.
Maybe
what
career
do you,
arcs the week after that.
That was going to be my next question is, what do you think this means for the future of content release as it pertains to positional programs, career arcs, and et cetera?
I think it's got to be weekly, or if not weekly, bi-weekly.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think 4 this week, they're all different positions, so it leaves open the option to release different career arcs down the road. They did say, and this is a quote, or at least part of it's a quote, they said the next set of career arcs is coming in, quote, a few weeks, is what they said from the live stream. That's obviously vague enough that it could be next week, it could be 2 weeks from now, it could be, you know, 2 months from now. We really don't know. I would venture to guess it's probably about 2 to 3 weeks away before we see new career arcs, and we'll see if any of those are completable at that time. If they are, then an Immortal is going to be completable, which is very interesting to see. So let's get into the actual players. We can talk about a few of them if you want. First one up is an 81 overall future star, Fernando Romero. I believe he's on the Twins, starting pitcher. It wasn't a lot that I loved about him necessarily. I know he throws gas, like 98 maybe, but other than that, like, I didn't really see too much with him that I loved. It's cool. I mean, I'm glad for new players all the time, especially you guys that are Twins fans will probably enjoy that Romero. But did you see anything with him that you want to talk about?
So one thing that I did notice about this card, while not as prevalent in this year's game, because the majority of pitches you see are changeups and curveballs, my favorite pitch in MLB The Show's past hasn't been a fastball, which I know is obviously a very effective pitch. It's the slider away from a righty, from a right-handed pitcher. And this Fernando Romero has a slider that's going to clock in about 90 miles an hour, which is just a hair below his fastball. It's like 8 or 9 miles an hour
that's
below his
Noah
fastball.
Noah Syndergaard stuff.
And it's got 92 break. So it's going to look really, really crisp online. And certainly against the computer.
Yeah, could be a good option.
I like that, but he has four total pitches, and two of them are fastball or fastball varieties. So I don't think he's going to be that usable online. Certainly not at the higher levels if the pitch speeds stay the same.
Yeah, definitely agreed. Next guy up was an 81 overall breakout Austin Jackson. This is a center field version of that card. It's been in the game in previous iterations. I can't remember how you got him last year, but I know I had him at one point. I wrote down that, you know, he has really good contact. I think he in mid-80s on each side and also good speed. But other than that, not much that I love. Maybe a good guy off the bench, but other than that,
I don't even think he's a good guy off the bench, because like in a guy that's a speedy type player off the bench, a speed defense guy, I want a guy that can also steal. And the biggest thing about stealing online is you need a guy with a good steal attribute to get a good jump. If you don't get a good jump, you're going to get thrown out. So I think this Austin Jackson is a pretty much worthless card for me, especially because he's been in like the last three games. Like, I don't want to keep using the same.
Right. I definitely do enjoy using new cards, so that's definitely a knock against him. Next guy up is a new card, I believe. At least not, has never, this particular version of this guy has never been in the game. 81 overall breakout Adam Lind. This is a left field version. If you guys are trying to track which positions might feed into new career arcs and immortals down the road, it's a left field version. I mean, this guy mashes righties. I want to say he was like 90, 85 or something like that against righties.
93, 85,
yep. So 93 contact, 85 power. I mean, that's nasty, especially for an 81 overall. Like, very doable, accessible to, I mean, literally anyone who plays the game.
He's got 74 vision, too. Like, there's a lot to like about this card. This guy screams bench bat.
Oh, easily, yeah.
Or really good BR option as well.
Definitely a great BR option. I mean, this would be a great guy to have on the bench.
The one thing that stinks with him is that he's a left field, right field with common fielding and 36 speed.
Yeah, you're definitely going to be hurting in the outfield, which is why I would highly agree. Unless you get him in BR, I would not start this guy. You know, use him on the bench and, you know, hit some dingers off the bench in a pinch hit opportunity. And the final guy, the last guy we saw, was another guy with crazy power. This guy has power to both sides, not just against righties. 80 overall breakout, Mark Reynolds. This is a third baseman. I mean, this guy is like basically Ryan Schiff 2.0.
I was going to say he's the right-handed Joey Gallo.
That's probably a better example, because he at least has okay contact. Schiff doesn't even have contact, let alone vision. But I mean, I want to say, I don't know exactly what the power stats are, but I know he has 23 vision, which is absolutely horrible. It's basically like Gallo.
So Reynolds has 97 power right and 88 power left. And like I mentioned earlier, when talking about Stan Musial, it's a lot easier when you're a right-handed batter to, at least for me, to hit left-handed pitching. So while his power is a little lower from the 97 to the 88, like, I don't think you're going to see that much of a drop-off of hitting against lefties with this Mark Reynolds, being that he's a right-handed batter.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree with that. I think this is a great option to have on your team at all, or like in your collection, I should say, at all, for things like events down the road. I mean, there could be an event that he fits perfectly for, that he's a great option for. So I would highly recommend, even if you don't like doing immortals, even if you don't do all that stuff, still get this Mark Reynolds and just have him. You never know when you'll want to use him. So, I mean, there's some good options. I really like Lind. I really like Reynolds. But either way, I think it's nice to see that they're releasing more position programs. Now, one thing I did want to ask you is, so we're getting a starter, a center fielder, a left fielder, and a third baseman. Do you think this kind of lends itself towards, let's say hypothetically, next week we also get, you know, four position programs? Do you think they're going to match up with these? Do you think it's going to be another center fielder, another left fielder, and so on? Or do you think it's going to be completely different positions?
All right, so let's backtrack a little bit. So we've got a left fielder, so that goes into Babe Ruth. A center fielder goes into Ken Griffey Jr. What else is there? Third baseman. Which is Chipper Jones.
And then starting pitcher could be
any of the three. So I think those three immortals, the Griffey, Babe Ruth, and Chipper, are three of the four best hitter immortals.
Right.
Outside of, I think you could throw Pujols. Albert Pujols in there.
Yeah, and maybe even Stan now.
Who?
Stan Musial.
Oh, Stan Musial. I thought you said Stan. I was like, I don't think Giancarlo Stan has an immortal.
Giancarlo Stan ain't getting no immortal. Chill with that.
So I don't know. Like, part of me thinks that it's just balancing out the other positions that already have a couple player programs that don't feed into anything. Like, there's a couple relief pitcher position player programs that don't feed into anything right now. They don't feed it into any career arc. And I know, like, Brock Holt doesn't...
It's not Brock Holt. It's Darren Barney.
Oh, Darren Barney.
And there's another one, too. But whatever. There's two second basemen that don't feed in, yeah.
So I wonder if this is just to even out with those other positions. I honestly haven't looked at it closely enough. But it could give us an inclination of where they're leading. Although, I would be really surprised if Babe Ruth was one of the first immortals you can finish.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of goes back to what something we were talking about with Kurt on This Week in MLB The Show when we were on earlier this week is... How do we think immortals are going to be released? Is it going to be all of them at once and they're going to be available, let's say, you know, mid-July or late July, whatever? Or is it going to be like one a week starting in like early July?
I'm guessing they're going to drop...
Or two a week, let's say.
So if they drop the next entire batch of career arcs...
Right, I mean, that's the key if you guys aren't exactly entirely aware of how... Immortals are unlocked. Right now, you can get every immortal outside of Stan Musial, obviously, completely completed. I guess, and kind of Babe Ruth as well. He's a little bit separate. Every other immortal can be 100% completed outside of their last career arc. So,
and that's all you would need. You would literally put the collectible.
You would put the collectible for that last career arc in, and you would have that 99 overall immortal. So it's not like you have to play anymore with them.
So literally, with Babe Ruth being the one exception.
Right. So what we're talking about when we say when our immortal is going to be available is essentially when are the next career arcs going to be available to be completed is essentially the point we're trying to say. So that's the question we're trying to answer, and I really don't know.
I don't think they're going to drop every single career arc to be completed at the same time. It just goes against... what they do. I know they like to drop a lot of content at once, but that's an obscene amount of content.
Yeah,
that's going to be like what, like 10 or another 12 career arcs that, sure, you might already have the position player programs done, but you still got to do all of those stat-based missions with those specific career arc players.
Right, which usually take a while, or at least some of them take a while.
I'm guessing they're going to drop in like two to four at a time.
Right. How would you like to have it done? So we have these four position programs coming. Presumably, like you said, we're going to have at least a couple every single week from here on out, likely at least. Would you like to see career arcs come into the game like now? Even though they wouldn't be completable because there's not enough position programs, would you like to see them kind of like how they did Otley almost? Or would you only like to see them right when they're able to be completed?
Man, that's a really tough question.
Like, for instance, we know for sure that there is a Frank Thomas, there's an Albert Bell, there's a Jose Reyes.
There's a Mike Schmidt.
Those guys all have confirmed career arcs, at least as of before the game came out. They had showed them in dev builds of the game. So we know those guys are coming. So, for instance, let's say Jose Reyes, if he were to drop on Friday today, would you be happy about it? Because you wouldn't be able to complete him. We know that for a fact. There's not enough position players to get him done. Would you like that, or would you rather have him come into the game once all the shortstop programs are in?
I want him right now because you can unlock versions of those cards along the way. Assuming that they do the career arc similarly as the first batch, you're going to get... While you may not be able to finish the Diamond Jose Reyes, you're going to be able to get a gold version of Jose Reyes, and I'm all for adding new and different players to my team that I can use in events, that I can use in ranked seasons, all different modes. Like, I loved that gold Billy Williams. I used that card for a long time before I got the diamond one. So I'm all for using different cards, and I would like to see who the actual career arcs are going to be. Like, I don't want to wait.
Yeah, I definitely agreed, and I'd even throw in that gold Chase Utley. I know a lot of people were annoyed that Chase Utley wasn't completable, but I was right there with you guys if you were annoyed by that, but that gold Chase Utley had like 85 power left. Like, he was amazing against lefties for some odd reason, but he was fun to use in that left-on-left event. So, yeah, like Aaron said, I'm all for more items being available as early as possible, so... If they want to release career arcs soon enough, even if they're not completable, I'm in. I just hope they actually release position programs in a timely manner.
And now that I think about it more, I think I want the career arcs themselves to be finishable, not all at once, but in a staggered manner. And the reason I say that is because a guy like Frank Thomas, I really want to use 97 Frank Thomas, But if at the same time that I unlock 97 Frank Thomas, I'm going to unlock the 99 Immortal Albert Pujols, and then also have a chance to unlock all of the other Immortals, I'm probably not going to use 97 Frank Thomas at all.
No,
whereas if I unlock the 97 Frank Thomas and the Pujols, but nothing else, I'll throw Frank Thomas at first base, throw Pujols in left field or third base or whatever, and use them both on my team at the same time.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. I would love to see it staggered a little bit. Like you said, anybody like Albert Bell, like he's a new legend. I would love to play with his card. I don't know what his overall is going to be, but probably going to be 95, something like that. Like he's going to be a beastly card. Love to use him, but if, like you said, if all the Immortals are available, I'm focusing 100% on that. Once I get his mission done, he's off my team. So
for all we know, they're going to drop them all at once, but then the mission to finish the Albert Bell career arc is going to be like 400 plate appearances with Albert Bell.
Seriously, yeah. Let's hope that does not happen. So I think we kind of beat that to death. That was a pretty good conversation, though. Next up, we can kind of talk a little bit about the update that we had last week, just because we haven't had an episode in a little bit. We talked about it on This Week in MLB The Show with Kurt. So if you guys listen to that, you might hear a little bit of a repeat here. We'll go through it kind of fast, though. As for the position programs that came out then, the six guys that we got, are there anybody that stood out to you as like a cool player, like one that you would love to see on your team, anything like that?
So I think Scott Kingery is a cool utility guy to use. He can play virtually every position. So he's a nice bench guy to have. If you're in a pinch and you want to pinch hit somebody, but you're not sure who can play that position going forward, I think he's a nice player. There's nothing wild that stands out about his contact or his power or his defense to me. He's just a solid card, kind of like a Ben Zobrist light.
Yeah.
If you're remembering the 94 ticket store Ben Zobrist from last year.
Yeah, he's not as good as Zobrist just personally because he doesn't have first base. He has every position except for first and catcher, so it's pretty close, but no first. I really like that card. I've been using him on my ranked seasons team. He's got really good speed too. He's got like 86 speed, decent stealing at 73, I want to say. So I really like that card as a good option. As for all the other guys, I wasn't huge fans. I kind of like the John Axford. He's all right, I guess. He does throw heat, but who knows, you know, given the state of the game right now, you know, 99 overall, 99 mile an hour fastballs are not necessarily the god tier pitch they used to be. So other than that, I mean, Francisco Mejia was kind of cool to see, the first diamond positional program, but nothing really special about him either.
Yeah, he's a switch hitter. That's as good as I can say about him. Yeah.
I mean, he's a catcher, which is nice, like for people that don't necessarily, maybe they don't have the 88 Piazza and they don't have a live series, you know, catcher. I definitely wouldn't say he's better than Gary Sanchez, but he's an option if you don't want to spend $10K on Gary Sanchez. So that's cool, I guess, for people that are, you know, pure grinders. He's a great option for you guys. But other than that, none of those guys. The big thing with all those guys coming out is all of the existing career arcs that were in the game since launch that we had been complaining about constantly were finally completable. Those guys include Chase Utley, who you already mentioned, Gary Carter, catcher, Paul Molitor, first baseman, and Trevor Hoffman, obviously a closer. So any of those guys that you really particularly like or that you're going to be using on your team?
I love the Trevor Hoffman. I think the way the game currently plays right now, with a de-emphasis on the fastball, he's a great player to use online. Like I tweeted this out last week. His circle changeup is so slow, it looks like a curveball. It's so slow, it drops like a foot and a half and looks like a curveball. Like gravity is pulling it down as it's in the air for 5.5 seconds getting to the plate.
I think the funniest thing about that Hoffman is his actual curveball. He actually throws a curveball. Is faster than the changeup. This is almost unheard of. I mean, you almost never see that in real life, but I'm sure it happened. Hoffman was an absolute stud, you know, Hall of Famer and all that. So I love that card too. It's definitely not the sexiest pick in terms of, you know, he's not throwing gas out of the pen. He'll probably hit 93 every once in a while. But yeah, that changeup is just filthy. Other than that, I mean, Gary Carter's a cool option. Problem with him, he can't really hit righties that well. I want to say he's like 60 contact, 70 power against right. It's kind of meh. Kills lefties though, which is cool. And Chase Utley is probably the best of the bunch just because of the position he plays. Second base is pretty weak unless you want to spend up for a guy like Altuve. So Chase Utley, definitely a cool option. But I mean, Paul Molitor, do you even care at all about Paul Molitor?
He's got really good contact, but no power.
Yeah, and he also has common defense, which is not what I want to see, especially at first base. So, that's basically it. I'm glad they were all completable. They all were able to be put into the Immortals as well. Get those percentages up if you want to. and that obviously helps as well. So next up, given that that's pretty much all we need to talk about with that content, was the patch from yesterday. On Thursday, there was a new gameplay patch. I believe the patch notes said something to the effect of that there were going to be fewer pop-ups, fewer, you know, weekly hit balls, things to that nature, but they didn't exactly specify how they made that happen. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't want to give too many thoughts. I've only played 3 ranked seasons games. I know Aaron hasn't had time to play any yet. So I don't want to go too into, you know, if the patch worked, anything like that. But it's definitely something you want to keep on your radar, especially if you are concerned with how the game was playing online. Keep it in mind when you play. And if you have issues, like I said at the beginning of this episode, report them on that the Show Nation feedback forum. Definitely hit that up. Highly recommend you do that if you have issues with the game. Don't just tweet at Tips and Ramon. I know, you know, that's the knee-jerk reaction. We all do it. But it's not like they're going to be checking and relaying that to everybody. So if you have issues with the game, or even if you really like the game now after the patch, that's also very possible. Let them know and, you know, make sure that they understand what is wrong with the game so they can hopefully keep improving it. We'll see. Like I said, I'll give a few thoughts because I played a few games, but anything you want to mention before I do that?
So I mention this when every single patch is dropped. I hate when people tweet out or go on forums and say, an hour after the patch drop, oh my god, this is a great patch, or oh my god, this patch sucked. Like, baseball is a game of statistics, and not short statistics, but aggregated long statistics. You can't look at a guy like Jackie Bradley Jr. who hits a home run in one at-bat and say, oh my god, he's the best hitter in the league. No, you have to look at his full season to see that, he's a middling to below average hitting outfielder. And the same is true for specific instances in-game. So don't just tweet out a picture of one time where you squared up or you thought you squared up a ball and it was a pop-up. It happens. But if that happens a lot, it's an issue. So don't have knee-jerk reactions to the patch. Play it for a couple days. Get a general sense of how you feel after the patch versus before the patch, and then make up your mind. But please, for the love of God, do not say that the patch is good or bad based on a small handful of games played. You're just not going to get accurate feedback. You're not going to get good feedback. And your opinion is going to be pretty much worthless because the sample size is way too small.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, and I highly agree, because that's kind of the experience I had today when I played. First game I hopped on, and I knew there was a new patch. I knew that some people were saying it was good, so I was kind of expecting a little bit better of an experience, but I was going in with what I thought was an open mind. So first guy up, Matt Kemp, 92 overall, great card. I rip a ball to left field, and it was caught. It was a, you know, well-hit ball. It wasn't like to the track or anything. It was just a normal fly out, but I actually hit it solid. I didn't pop it really high in the air. It wasn't warning track power. It was just a nice, solid line drive that went pretty much right to the left fielder, and after I hit that ball, I was thinking, wow, like, I haven't seen too many of those this season. Usually when I, you know, fly out, it's like a lazy pop-up, you know, barely in the outfield. Or it's like I almost hit a home run that just barely didn't get out. And that was just a normal fly ball. And I felt, you know, I was like, all right, that's pretty good. Later in the game, Chase Utley up at bat. And I actually rip a ball into the right center field gap. And it felt like one of the best hits I've had all year. Which, like I said, it was in the gap. It wasn't even a home run. It was just a normal double. Scored a run on it. And the way I hit it, it was just like, it was kind of like amazing. I really don't think I've had too many balls like that where they were just a clean double into the gap. You know, a normal thing you see almost every baseball game you watch. A clean double into the gap, really nice off the bat. And it just felt good. So at that point, I'm thinking, wow, this patch actually really fixed a lot of stuff. I'm feeling pretty good at the plate. Not that I'm going to be hitting, you know, 400 or anything because that would be absurd. But just that, like, the results I'm getting make sense. So that was the first game I played. Second game I played, what do you know, I'm popping up everything. I'm hitting it all over the place, and it feels like the old game. So to give you my honest opinion, I don't know what I think of the patch yet. Like Aaron said, I need to play the game a lot more to actually give you a real thought process on it, and as does everybody in the community. So hopefully keep that in mind if you are concerned about the game or if you're really happy with the patch. Either way, play enough to have an informed opinion. And don't just come at it because of, you know, one bad out or one really good play or something like that. Make sure you play enough, and I'm going to be sure to do that as well. So anything else on the patch that you want to make a note of? All right.
That's it.
If that's it, then we'll move into our final topic, which is investments. So real quick background on this before I get your take, because I know you want to talk about this a decent amount, is how they're doing live series adjustments this season and how it definitely seems like they'll be doing it from now on. They seem to be doing only live series updates, as in, you know, attribute changes every 2 weeks. So on the off weeks, they'll do guys that got called up, they'll put them in the game. Guys that changed positions or maybe got traded, they'll, you know, adjust that as needed. But they won't be changing attributes. So for instance, today on Friday, there's going to be no attribute changes. It'll only be position changes and, you know, trades and call-ups and that stuff, transactions essentially. Otherwise, you know, next Friday, there will be an attribute change just like there was last Friday, and it seems like that's the trend they'll be going. So with that information, what do you want to talk about, Aaron?
So I think the biggest thing about this change is that it changes the life cycle of an investment itself. So in previous games, you didn't see as much volatility before and after a roster update. But now, at least after the first two roster updates, we're seeing a lot of volatility on guys that we thought were going to be tier jumps, or the community thought was going to be tier jumps, and that didn't make that tier jump. They didn't get that upgrade. So guys, I'm just going to use silvers for an example. So silvers that we think are going to go golds, typically the couple days before the roster update, their prices start approaching the 700, 800, and maybe even 900 and above stub level per card. And then you've seen time and time again, if that card didn't make that gold level, the price crashes. It goes down to like 400 per stub or per card. So the price is slashing in half by like 50%. So you have to keep this in mind when you're going through and doing your investments. The best thing you want to do, if you're in it for the short game, is to try to buy those guys that you think are going to go gold, those silvers that you think are going to go gold. You want to get those about 10 days to 2 weeks in advance. So right after the roster update, to like the middle of this week, basically. The week leading up to the roster update, those prices skyrocket compared to what they were the week before. So if you can, and you're okay with sinking stubs into cards that you're not going to be able to move for about a week, start buying them the few days after the roster update. With the caveat that, like, you're not going to be able to move those stubs or move those cards for that period of time. Going forward, if you have a lot of a guy that you think is going to go gold, a silver that you think is going to go gold, and he doesn't, you might want to cut bait with that card a little quicker, because if you don't, you're going to be sitting with him for another 2 weeks. Whereas last year, you knew that another roster update was coming this week. He could possibly go gold this week. Now you got to wait 2 weeks. So it's going to change the calculus a little bit in terms of your timing of buying and selling those cards.
Yeah, I definitely think the key takeaway with that, if you, you know, especially if you don't have time to necessarily be on every day or be on for hours on end every day, like we might have, is keep in mind that it's every 2 weeks. So try to think of who you want to invest in earlier, rather than thinking about it, oh crap, an update's coming in 2 days, who do I want to invest in? By then you kind of already missed the boat. You're going to be buying them for way too expensive. Yeah, you'll probably still make some stubs if they go gold, but you won't make nearly as many, and you're taking a huge risk. So just keep it in mind, especially when there's a new update. Think about who didn't get upgraded, who still might in the future, and maybe invest heavily in them. Somebody like Kevin Pillar, who I really thought was going to go up this last week. I had like 80 or so of him. He didn't go up, so I just held on to him, and I'm going to buy a few more as we go along for this week. So just guys like that who, you know, you think are going to go up, and as long as their stats are still the same, you definitely want to be checking, you know, Baseball Reference, Fangraphs, whatever site you prefer. Check all that stuff. Make sure they're still doing well. And if they are, you might want to hold on to them. But it's just kind of that balancing game. And also one thing I'd throw in as well is if you're investing in a guy. So me and Aaron, we like to invest in silvers. We do a little bit of gold investing, but mostly silvers because it's just very easy. There's low risk and it's a good reward. So you can buy most silvers early on for about $300-$400, maybe $500 or $600 if you want to spend up a little bit. So let's say you buy them for $500. you want that card to be a gold, and if you quick sell the gold, it'll be 1,000. Or if you sell it on the market, you'll get about 1,000 as well. Either one you want to do. So you make 500 stubs on each guy. That's pretty good. Now, the thing you want to keep in mind is if his price the day before the update is like 980, or if it's like 1050, you know, 1050, and you're going to make, you're going to get back, you know, 930 stubs from that card, you might want to just cut bait then. You don't have to take the risk that he goes gold just so you get.
Doesn't go gold. Or,
yeah, exactly. You don't want to take the risk that he doesn't go gold just for an extra 70 stubs, which I know is enticing. It builds up, especially if you have a lot of cards, but if they get that close to 1,000 or whatever the price range you're willing to do, I would just cut bait with them. There's no reason to hold on to them if their price goes that high. That being said, if their price is only like 700, maybe hold on to them. So it's just kind of the balancing act. Just think everything through when you're doing it and don't overthink it, I guess, which is very easy to do. Like I said, it's very easy to think, oh, he's only selling for, you know, 980. I only make, you know, 800 or 890 stubs off this. I don't want to sell him yet because he might be selling for 1,000. You're only doing that for 110 stubs. Not really worth it, in my opinion. All right, so that's basically all we had on investments, unless you got more stuff. Do we have any Twitter questions, anything like that from the Twitter sphere? I know we threw something out, but it was kind of like right before we started this, so don't know if we had too much. I know we had a couple things, mostly on the you know, the live stream and Sam Musial and whatnot, but I don't know if anything was worthy of making it on the podcast, gracing the podcast, I should say.
Sure. So we've got one here. So let's see. Can you go over the earning of the Stan the Man souvenirs? What happens if you only have time to earn one souvenir?
So that's definitely interesting. We already beat that to death for sure about how to earn them. It's through, like we said, just to reiterate, it's through these immortal events that hopefully will happen pretty frequently, and then through ranked seasons rewards starting in June. What happens if you only get one is an amazing question, and I don't know the answer to it. I don't think anyone really does. We know for sure that there is a mission in him, in his program right now, that is, I think it's exchange two bobbleheads or autographs, basically the combination. We don't really know anything about the autographs. I assume it's the same deal. You get them through, you know, rank seasons or whatever, but yeah, if you only get one, presumably you can't get that mission done, and if you can't get that mission done, presumably you cannot get 10%, which unlocks his first item in the game. So if you only get one, I think you're kind of out of luck.
Right, so you're out of luck for now, but I think in the long term, I don't think they're only going to put out... So they mentioned... Sorry, to backtrack. They mentioned on the stream that you're going to need a total of 12 combined bobbleheads and signed baseballs of Stan Musial. I don't think they're going to limit both rank seasons and events throughout the course of the year to give out 12 Stan Musial bobbleheads. I think there's going to be the chance to earn 25 to 30 of these. So it might it'll delay you. You won't be the first person to get Stan the Man if you don't get the three bobbleheads this go around in this event. But I don't think it's going to cut you out from the Immortal completely, because that would just be asinine.
Yeah, it's definitely true. I would be very surprised, actually shocked, and also very upset, very pissed, honestly, if they did limit it to just 12. And if you miss even one, you're screwed. There's no way they'll do that. So, yeah, like Aaron said, it'll suck if you miss a couple, but I'm sure you'll be able to make it up soon enough. Is that it?
That's it.
All right, I think that's all the time we have then. We covered a lot in this one. Stan the Man was a great find, or a great addition to the team. Hopefully we can get him on our teams relatively soon. We'll see about these bobbleheads and whatnot. Leave us your thoughts on Twitter. I can be found on Twitter at xwhatthemoose. Aaron can be at AaronPlaysMLB. And, of course, the show is at MLB The Show Cast. Follow us on there. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you later.